This is Offstage and On the Air, performance number 543. I am Lisa Sheps, and I am operating solo today. Miss Nicole Shiro is at home nursing a bad foot. She has foot and mouth disease. I'm kidding about that. You're listening to us on KOOP HD1, HD3, Hornsby. Streaming live, as we always do on Wednesdays, at koop.org. Don't you go away.
Hurry, hurry, and step right up. The show's about to begin. Forget your troubles and raise your cup. Yeah. Step right up.
It is Wednesday, November 20th. And that would be the year of 2019. On the show today, we have Austin Playhouse and their production of She Loves Me. And then Austin Shakespeare is on today with their show of William Shakespeare's As You Like It. And of course, we're going to have lively discussions of the world of theater in Austin, New York, Chicago, Boston, and Sacramento, California. Don't go away.
To pierce the dark from Battery Park to Washington Heights someday maybe.
Okay, someday maybe. I'll ask everybody here to be quiet because your microphones are all on. We are here. That was a piece of music called Broadway Baby from Follies, which was the Ann Ciccolella, who I will introduce right now. Hello, Ann.
Hi.
She was asking me who's singing that. And the question is, I don't know. I don't remember. That was the, I should know.
Yeah.
That was the revival from about a few years ago that starred somebody and somebody. That's it.
This is why we need Nicole Shiro.
Yeah, I know. Nicole knows everything.
She's got the foot.
She does. So, Nicole Shiro is not here. We are wishing her well. She's, not feeling really, really great today. So I know she's probably, listening to, the show and she's probably texting me going, shut up. Don't say anything about my hoof and mouth, my foot and hoof and foot disease, which she doesn't really have. So I'm sitting here, looking for, piece of paper that tells me why I played that song. But I do want to thank Rockin' Rob for standing in for Kim Simpson and International Folk Bazaar. He did a great, great job.
He's so great.
He is great. Let me introduce everybody that's here, and then we'll talk about everything that's going on. We have a packed house today, and I can't introduce anybody because my cheat sheet that has everybody's name, I just did something with it.
We can introduce ourselves.
No. It's much more fun when I ruin everybody's name. I appreciate the thought. Oh, my God. It is totally... There it is. Okay. So, here we go. We're going to see how we do. We have Matthew Graham Wagner.
Hello.
Hello. Hold on. I got to turn my volume up because I'm being a little Mr. Bungui today. I don't know why. We have Helen
know
Rain
who that
Messenger.
Is anymore? That would be me. Hello.
Hello. We have Webb Jerome.
Hi, everybody.
Howdy, everybody. We have Emily Christine Smith.
Hello.
We have Bryce Ray.
Howdy, howdy.
We have Marie Falgren.
Hello.
And Lynn Kenning.
Hello.
Oh, and the microphone works. That's good to know. All right. So even though I couldn't tell you who was singing that version of Follies, there is going to be a movie adaptation that is going to be produced by Dominic Cook of Stephen Sondheim's Follies. Now, I did not know this. There's been several instances of trying to get this thing as a movie, but nothing's ever gotten the green light. I'm going to read this from this article, which is from Hollywood Reporter. Over the years, there have been many attempts to bring Follies to the screen, but not until Dominic Cook's brilliant production at the National Theatre of Great Britain did I feel like it could be a real movie. Hmm. I'm more than delighted. I'm thrilled that it's finally going to happen, and that was said by somebody named Stephen Sondheim.
Whoa.
Who wrote it? Who wrote it? I mean, that wasn't a question. That was it.
Oh. Yeah.
Stephen Sondheim.
Very gross.
Who wrote it?
Comma.
So...
But Barbara Cook is dead. Well, who's going to sing these roles?
I didn't say Barbara Cook. I said, if I said Barbara.
I'm saying.
Oh, yes. She.
How can we do this?
Let's see if it's, let's see if it has any. Well, the director is Dominic
Cook. Yeah.
And.
So maybe they're going to be Brits?
Imelda Staunton. Oh, this is from the National Theater's production in 2017. Right. Imelda Staunton and Janie D starred in it.
Okay, we'll have to check
it out. So we'll see if that's
very
that's,
exciting that's news. Thank you, Lisa.
Yeah, you're quite welcome. I do all of this for you, Anne. So we've had a couple of interesting openings that I thought was fun that I want to talk about. And one is Slova's Snow Show.
Oh, yeah.
Has anybody ever heard of this? It's
yes,
been
of
around
course,
for
sure,
a while.
Long
yeah,
time.
Of course. I thought I would have too, but I haven't.
Wow, because you read everything.
I do. Well,
but you don't remember everything.
I don't remember. So this is, you know what, I'm going to start. I'm going to describe this by reading the first paragraph of the review in the New York Times by Laura Collins Hughes. She writes, quote, "The clown incursion began as a stealth operation, first with one, then another peering tentatively out at us from the wings. Intermission music was still playing and the audience still milling as the clowns assembled until gradually a whole pack of them, and in parentheses, a gaggle, a murder, a herd, stood at the lip of the stage gazing quizzically at us." So, Who here thinks clowns are kind of creepy?
Super.
Anybody?
Yeah. It's no. According to who they are.
No. Oh, many people do find them kind of creepy. And
I think they're creepy if they're
get right up on that microphone.
They're creepy if they're described as being a murder of clowns.
Yeah, well, a murder is actually a group of
how many
ravens, right?
No, I don't think it's ravens, but that would be good. But
is it a number? Is a murder a certain number of?
No,
things?
it's like a herd of sheep, and there's a murder of something.
It's a group of it.
It's a group of something, and it is something. But no, if you woke up in the middle of the night and at the foot of your bed was a clown just standing there, wouldn't that just freak you out?
I think if I woke up in the middle of the night with anything at the foot of my bed, I'd be terrified. But I'll take clowns.
Anyway, so this is a show that was created by a Russian clown and performance artist named Slava
Nailed it.
And it has been around since 1993. It's been on Broadway. This is its second time on Broadway. And evidently, all these clowns happen, but they don't freak you out as one might be freaked out by
clowns.
Well,
because they're not Barnum and Bailey clowns.
They're not Barnum and Bailey clowns, but they're still the same. They're still the same kind of idea like the clowns at Cirque. They're still clowns. They would freak me out.
Clowns at Cirque are not Barnum and Bailey clowns.
Yeah. So the interesting that they talk about these clowns crowd surf.
Oh.
Like all through the crowd. Okay. And she talks about it. She says she was just giddy and had just a great time at this show. But one of the things that she found interesting, and I found this when I went to see, oh darn, who's the performance artist with the toilet paper rolls? Moment Chance?
Yeah.
So when I went to see them in New York, and it ends with all this toilet paper coming all through the house, and I look up at the people in the balcony, and they cannot nearly be having as much fun as I was having. And she said basically the same thing. This I will read it. One caveat about the performance space: the Sondheim is a big, tall house, and I sat in the orchestra. Is it as much fun upstairs? I don't know. It's safer from clowns and water that they spray so cavalierly, definitely. The blinding snowstorm that finishes the show, blanketing the aisles with tiny strips of white tissue paper, can't be as intense up there. So the people up there, so if you decide to go, you decide to buy a ticket, get orchestra seats.
Okay.
And I think I just paid Harry Connick prices, and they were awfully pricey.
Well,
I think if they crowd surf, Lisa, they are a mosh of clowns.
Mosh of clowns.
Oh, man.
That answer.
That's also, that's maybe the we show. Could say that they were clown surfing.
Oh.
That was bad.
Keep going. Okay, the other show that opened didn't, oddly enough, did not get as good reviews all around. It did win the Olivier for best show last year, and it is The Inheritance. That is, it's one of these two-parters, 2-3-hour shows. I'm kind of ambivalent about that. But it's, and I'm going to come up with it. I did not order my pieces of paper, so I'm very disorganized today. But it's basically tells the story of gay America currently looking back at its roots, and it's sort of it's a mashup of two shows. It's kind of a mashup of and I've got to remember the name of it, and I can't remember. Who wrote the play, the book? I'm going to come up with it. It's in here somewhere. I am so unprepared. Well, one is Angels in America. That is easy. Oh, and Howard Zinn by E.M. Forster. And actually, E.M. Forster is a character in this play. And so it sort of follows Howard Zinn through, and then it pairs off. Ben Brantley did not make this a critic's pick. And it's... he calls it a doorstop of a play, although he did not hate it. It's just he said it had problems, and
it's 6 hours.
6 hours.
See, that's
You have to buy two tickets. So I will read the synopsis that's in the Did He Like It website, which is a really great website. In contemporary Manhattan, Eric and Toby are 30-somethings who seem to be very much in love and thriving. But on the cusp of their engagement, they meet an older man haunted by the past and a younger man hungry for the future. Chance meetings lead to surprise choices as the lives of these generations interlink and collide with explosive results.
Mm. Now, that sounds interesting.
It does.
Doesn't sound anything like Howard's End.
Well, you know what? I've never seen nor read it.
Oh, see it.
Now, I know, I must.
Vanessa is out of this world.
Is anybody else? Oh, yeah, I'm alone here.
One of my favorites.
Oh, okay. Lynn loves it. But this is a huge hit in London, and this was a transplant from the West End. And let's see. I'm going to read what I highlighted here. I don't know why I did, but I'm going to read it, and we'll all discover this together. Ambition and achievement are not entirely commensurate in The Inheritance. Its breadth doesn't always translate into depth. As fine as the acting is throughout, and quietly brilliant when extraordinary veteran Lois Smith takes the stage towards the very end of the show's sole female character, none of the characters here have the textured completeness of those created by Forster and Kushner. So
that was good writing. Who wrote that?
Ben Brantley.
Oh, Ben was up that day. That's
Ben
good.
Brantley was. Some of the other reviewers, Charles Isherwood said, "Can it really be that good?" The blissful answer is yes. A mighty shout out from the top rooftop bars. Yes. Mm. AM New York's Matt Weinman says, to put it bluntly, The Inheritance is the triumph of the fall theater season. New York One's Roma Torre said, and while not perfect, the message of this extraordinary play is so important and its rendering so deeply touching, it does indeed deserve the highest of praise. So,
thank you. That was all interesting.
Yeah, it's going to be around. So The Inheritance.
Nice.
Done with that. The last review, which was pretty much meh reviews all the way around, was the Evita that happened at the City Center as part of the Encore series. This was the one we talked about the other day, where they split Evita into two roles, a young Evita and an older Evita. The young Evita is played by Maya Rafico, and the older one is Soleil Pfeiffer. And what they talk about here is how... Oh, so I should mention the director is Sammy Knold, and it was... Jesse Green calls it a smart yet unpersuasive production. Hmm. She starts the review talking about those of us, and I believe you are in this group, that were in New York and then around 1979 when Evita premiered and when it happened, all this.
I saw the original production.
The big iconic thing is that white dress, that white strapless dress. And so she has Sammy has taken that dress away from the character. It now hangs from the fly system.
She has a white dress on in this production. It's not the same.
It's not the same. Anyway, but here's the thing about Evita generally, especially nowadays. It's sort of...
It's a little creepy.
It's creepy, and it is what's the word? It's making Eva Perón look like a good person.
Mm-hmm.
Glorifying was the word I was trying to say. Mm-hmm. And is this the right time in our world to be making a dictatorial leader look good? So, you know, maybe not. But this was, I didn't realize this, and you probably did, Anne, that Lord Weber wrote this as a choral piece, very much like he did Jesus Christ Superstar and Joseph. I didn't realize
but
that.
But the Hal Prince production was amazing.
Amazing.
Revolutionary.
Yeah. So Juan Perón is played by Enrique Acevedo, and Che Guevara is played by Jason Gauthier.
Mandy Patinkin.
No, he wasn't in this one.
Well, he's getting a little up there now.
Don't cry for me. Yeah, I actually, Nicole and I went to see Mandy Patinkin and who was his co-star in Evita?
Patti LuPone
perform, and it was a very interesting. We've talked about it on this performance. They did not acknowledge each other. They were like individual performers. She on stage left and he on stage right, and then they did until they started singing duets from Evita. They were in separate shows.
That makes so much sense, though, when you look at both of them together.
I guess.
Also, Patty's an incredible solo performer.
Yeah. So, and she's contentious. Many people are not crazy about her.
I know. I don't understand.
I'm not crazy about her.
I don't understand.
I think it's taken the whole picture. Anyway, but all right. So I'm not going to even go there because I'm sure I'll be proven wrong. Here's something interesting. The Music Man, we've talked about this, coming back to Broadway, starring Hugh Jackman and Sutton Foster. Tickets
Nicole
are...
Nicole Chereau, Hugh Jackman.
Oh, I know. I can't wait to see it. And Sutton Foster. Nicole and Hugh are a couple. I think they are.
Yeah. It's a secret.
Tickets are on sale.
Only $300.
Only $300. And no theater. So there's a very interesting article.
People will still buy them.
And they are. So when you go to Ticketmaster? When you go to Ticketmaster, you're given a generic, like,
Roque 101 or something.
Theater that you choose, you know, from an orchestra and balcony. Hold on, did I say Ticketmaster? I meant Telecharge. They have this fantasy seats that's...
It's like a virtual, every theater's going to have...
Well, but they know it's in a Schubert theater, so this knocks down who they think it is. For instance, there are 17 Schubert-owned Broadway houses. 12 of the theaters have far fewer seats than this ticket site is plugging in. And then the Broadway and the Majestic are really too big to host it, so they have it down to the Winter Garden, the Schubert, or the Imperial. And it's sort of an interesting article, but it's interesting that they're selling tickets without having a theater. And they just have this fantasy seating chart.
Never heard of such a thing.
Yeah. Well, and I find it's an interesting article. Somebody took the time to look at that seating chart and compare it to Schubert houses.
Oh, you know. Oh,
and yes. Figure out.
Absolutely.
Figure out what it is. Back to the Future musical. Enough said about that.
No. Why, though?
But this is the thing I want to talk about in our last couple of minutes here. There's a very interesting article in the New York Times, the title of which, it's written by Michael Paulson, Rethinking Tiny Tim, Should a Disabled Actor Play the Role? Mm-hmm. Yes, of course, a disabled actor. And it's in today's day and age when we're really trying to open up the diversity. And they're talking about all the theaters that have been doing this so far. And it's about to open up on Broadway, a version, and they have two actors that are doing it. Sebastian Ortiz, who's 7 years old, and Jai Ram. I should have tried to pronounce this before I did it on live on the air. Something. He's 8. They're sharing the role, but then they go on to talk about how in Chicago they've been doing Christmas Carol for I think the past 3 years with a disabled performer. And it talks about using these disabled... Oh, and I was very happy that in Texas, at North Texas Performing Arts Repertory Theater, there's a 12-year-old boy with muscular dystrophy that's doing Tiny Tim and Scrooge the Musical. And how they're really looking at it and talking about how having a disabled actor play these roles is really important. And that, as we know, disabilities are not always visual. So there are they are hiring people with a range of disabilities to play these roles in different places. And I just think it's very interesting. One kind of poignant thing in here, and I'll just read this. For their parents, the opportunities stir a mix of emotion. Mm. In one of Scrooge's visions, he sees a future in which Tiny Tim has died. Mm. Jonathan's mother, Tiffany Rizzo, noting that her child's prognosis is uncertain, said that scene is really hard to watch. It does hit close to home. But she said, for Tiny Tim, there's hope. She said, and we have hope for Jonathan. I mean, it's such a... It's,
what a thing.
Yeah, and it's so cool. And then I have this. Oh, Louisville Theater hasn't cast a child as Tiny Tim, but argues that disabled characters should be able to play any role. Mm-hmm. And I put a big question mark by this because it sounds... And they said this year they had Patrick Taylor, a 30-year-old actor with Tourette syndrome, playing a young Scrooge. I put a kind of question mark next to that because if you have a disabled character, you should make every effort to make sure that actor is disabled, in my opinion. Mm-hmm. And what they're saying is, well, we didn't do that, but we open up our casting to anybody, which everybody should be doing anyway. Mm-hmm. I don't know. And then there's one other point I want to have, and then I'll bring it up to anybody that wants to say anything. Where did it? Oh, I got to remember where I... Oh, yeah. So in London, when they... put the casting call, they said, quote, applicants without a disability will not be considered. In New York, the language is subtler. Performers with disabilities are encouraged to audition. Mm-hmm. And I think that's interesting. And I think it's probably more about our laws here than anything else. So anyway, what do y'all think of that? But generally speaking.
I thought the article was great and it was a huge spread.
Yeah.
I was impressed that the Times actually did it.
Yeah. Okay, that was that. And there is one other thing, and I don't have my phone here. I read it, and I can't remember what it is. There's an article I read right before we came to the studio that I said I've got to read it. I got to talk about it on the air, and let's just see if it's right here on my phone, because it was interesting, and it's a pretty quick read. Huffington Post. Oh, by the way, there is a lot of theater going on right now in Washington. Case. Oh, what small theater does for New York. I think this is really interesting, and it's sort of, we can sort of be an analog for this, but it has data talking about how off and off Broadway theaters are feeding the fuel of the economy in New York much more than people think of.
And where was the article?
New York Times. $584 million in direct annual economic output and $1.3 billion in direct, indirect, or induced benefits. But some of the, let's see.
Cool.
There are 748 small venue theater organizations identified by the city. 97% work. Oh, it says 97%. I had problems with this one because I thought it said 97%. 97% work at a regular location. Mm-hmm. 51 are part of a larger organization. And apropos to Austin, 600 are nomadic companies. Most of the nonprofit theaters are in Manhattan, 30% in Midtown, 15% downtown. Almost all of them outside of Broadway are nonprofits. Just 24 of the 748 are commercial. And they're lumping off-Broadway and off-Broadway in the same group. And I would argue that that's probably not a fair assessment because off-Broadway is practically commercial theater these days. Mm-hmm. So I'm guessing that 24 that are commercial are off-Broadway houses. Small theaters
not
have
that many off-Broadway houses.
No, that's true.
It's like six.
That's true. Small theaters have guess how many seats and how many stages the small theaters in New York have. Anybody?
99?
Nope. But most of them have fewer than 99 seats. Almost 52,000 seats and 226 stages in New York. Statistics like the industry depends on more than 9,000 non-salaried volunteers. 92% of the labor organizations with budgets under $100,000 are performed strictly by volunteers. And then this is duh. Smaller theaters particularly are dependent upon philanthropy and government grants. But I just think it's a very interesting article.
interesting to do some of this in Austin, you know, the economic impact and
absolutely
numbers. That'd be fun.
We've been saying that about Austin Theater all in the city, all the time. The city, I don't really believe, even though we are very loud and vocal about it, I don't think they understand what theater companies like the ones represented in this room mm-hmm. bring to the economic development of this of the city. Anyway, so let's take a little break. And oh my God, I forgot what we're going to play. We're going to find out. It's just going to play. We'll be right back.
Could be the best day.
We are back. You're listening to Offstage and On the Air with Lisa Sheps and Lisa Sheps. Hi, I'm Lisa. Actually, and Ann Ciccolello, who's
Thank
in the
you.
Co-host seat. Yeah. So before I go, that was a song from SpongeBob SquarePants, which did y'all know that they're doing a Nickelodeon is doing a live telecast
yeah.
of it with most of the original cast. And it is, let me see if I can get the date. It's got to be in here somewhere. That's going to happen sometime. How's that? So... Oh my gosh. Anyway, SpongeBob SquarePants. I'm looking forward to it, although the only part of everybody, has anybody seen it?
No.
Everybody without has said such great things about it. My only experience is watching it when it's done the Today Show or mm-hmm. Macy's right. Thanksgiving Parade, and I was underwhelmed. But, also, not to talk about it, Jaws themed musical. All right.
Oh my God.
It's interesting. It's actually a musical based on the making of Jaws. So let's get
that
to Austin.
Worse.
That could be cool.
Yeah. I don't know. I don't know how I feel about it. And I had actually the soundtrack all queued up to play, but I didn't play it because. Well, because I didn't. Get off my back. Let's talk to Austin Playhouse. Here from Austin Playhouse is Lynn Kenning.
Hello again.
Who is the musical director and is going to be gracing us by tickling the ivories today. And two of the actors, Marie Falgren.
Hello.
And Bryce Ray.
Hey.
Okay, so y'all are doing She Loves Me. It's a good Christmas time show.
It is.
Oh, for sure.
We actually talk about it a fair amount here on the program, but does somebody want to tell me what this show's all about?
Yeah, I'll jump in here and explain a little bit. So I think the best way to explain this show is that it's based off of a play called Perfumery, which was later adapted by the films that we know very well. You've got Mail, You Shop Around the Corner. So this is the musical adaptation of that story. And it's about these two clerks who don't get along,
Budapest.
Yes. But at night they have these secret admirers or pen pals that they write to and they're falling in love with. And then so by day they don't get along, but at night they're writing to each other. And they find out later that the people they don't get along with so well are actually the people that they're falling in love with. So yeah. Will they continue to fall in love with each other once they know the truth?
Meg Ryan and Tom Hanks.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Jimmy Stewart and whoever it was.
Maureen O'Hara?
I don't remember.
It's a brilliant story.
It is a great story.
It's so wonderful. Yeah. And it ends on Christmas Day. So it's like the lovely holiday feeling. Beautiful music. It's a golden age musical. Lots of fun songs like Vanilla Ice Cream and She Loves Me. Really great.
And it's fun. And it was revived on Broadway about 3 years ago.
Yeah, 2016.
Oh, yeah. Again, you're right.
Nice. So
and actually, they tried something groundbreaking during that production, which was a live stream, which I was able to see when it was able to. There were some technical issues. but it had Laura Benanti mm-hmm. and Jane Krakowski mm-hmm. and
Zachary Levi.
Yeah, all those people. So yeah. It's a fun piece.
It's so fun. Yep.
Are y'all doing anything? Are you taking a standard approach to it? Or are you like doing anything? You setting it in today's day?
It's
or?
Pretty standard. Yeah, it's pretty standard.
I think it would be fun to do a She Loves Me in sort of a post-apocalyptical.
Oh yeah. Fits thematically.
Yes.
Yeah, like with you'd have the Borg there or something.
Start over.
You might want to think about that.
Reset it, yeah.
Hey, Bryce, I'm going to give you a really quick job. Can you give me a number between 2 and 26?
22.
Let's see what that is.
Hi, I'm Joey Elrose with Memphis the Musical, and I play Huey Calhoun, and you are listening to Offstage and On the Air on KOOP Hornsby, Austin. 91.7 Hockadoo.
Hockadoo. Memphis the Musical. Has anybody seen that?
No.
Well, I would suggest that on, I think it's on Netflix. They have a taping of it, and it's one of the better tapings I've seen of the original, and it's a wonderful piece. But we're not talking about that. We're talking about She Loves Me. Tell us about the roles that you guys are playing. Marie, who are you playing?
I play Ilona. I'm one of the shop clerks, and she is looking for love in all the wrong places. She falls in love with another clerk, and she gets her heart broken. But then she changes her ways. What's that?
He's a cad.
He is.
He is a cad.
He is.
She's a bit of a slut.
Well, Anne.
I don't know what to say to that. Bryce, who do you play?
Arpad's kind of on the other end of the spectrum. He is the delivery boy, kind of like the pure light of the show who wants to be a shop clerk. I think of him, he's kind of like the kid who gets to sit at the adult table every now and then. He like desperately wants to do it so bad all the time. So
I love how you describe him as the pure light of the show, because I would have to agree with that assessment, because I just love that character. And you guys are going to do a little song for us or two, are you not?
Yes,
which one are we going to start with?
Take it away.
We're going to do Try Me.
Try Me. And you want to set that up? Song. What's it?
Yeah. So this is Arpad talking to his boss, Mr. Marichek, pleading with him to become a clerk, essentially. So. And like proving to him that he has all that it takes to become a clerk.
Awesome. Okay, well, this is Bryce Ray doing a song from Austin Playhouse's production of She Loves Me.
I have trained myself going shelf by shelf, and I know every item in the store. Every tube, jar, box, bottle, carton, and container, where they are, what they cost, what they're for. Although it's something you have never thought about, Mr. Marichek, try me. You need a man who knows the business inside out, Mr. Marichek, try me. You need help, or I'd have never spoken. And why break someone in when I'm already broken? In this emergency, I wouldn't let you down, Mr. Marichek, try me. Oh, I can see by the uncertain way you frown that you've asked yourself, why me? For first-class clerking and conscientious working, Mr. Marichek, why not try me? You wish to return this jar, madam, certainly right you are. Madam, you say it smells like a drowned cat. Woo, it does it that. At Marichek's, madam, we claim with pride the customers must be satisfied. The customers must be satisfied. By the way, we have a special sale on autumn heather. Let me spray some on your hand. Here, we'll smell it together. It has the three elements of good perfume: attractive to the nose, invisible to the eye, and functional. My wife has used it time and again. It's very appealing to us men. I use it myself every now and then. Well, certainly, madam. Oh, Miss Ritter! Miss Ritter? That's 20 and 6 for the autumn heather, 8 and 3 for the cream, 32 even for that bottle of mermaid stream, 1 and 3 for the eyebrow pencil, 9 for the large shampoo, and then for the jar you're bringing back, that's 4 and 2 for you. That's a total of 98, less 4 and 2 for the jar, out of 100. Ka-ching! Here's your change, 5 and 2. There you are. The biggest sale in several years, I believe. Thank you, madam. Please call again. Glad I could help. Here is my card. Thank you, madam. Please call again. Do call again. Madam, I would gladly
finally grow a mustache if you'd like, Mr. Maracek. Try me. I would even think of giving up my bike, Mr. Maracek. Try me. For first-class clerking and conscientious working, Mr. Maracek, why not try me?
Hired.
Woo!
Well,
you got the job. A wonderful show. What a wonderful song. You did a great job.
Thank you.
Yeah,
thank
like
you.
I said, I just fill out your W-2 with the girl in the front. We'll take care of all that. We're happy to have you. So we don't have a whole bunch of time left, but that's I would fine. Love to get... Well, is it a shorter piece?
It is, but that's okay.
I would love to hear you sing.
Okay.
What are you going to sing? Let's just jump to it.
I'm going to sing I Resolve.
I Resolve.
This is right when she gets her heart broken, right after. And she's promising herself that she's going to change her ways.
Okay.
And yeah.
So this is...
I resolve not to be so stupid. I resolve not to play these games. How often I've been a sitting duck for Cupid. How often I've let him shoot me down in flames. I resolve not to be so trusting. It's high time that I awoke. Whatever I've got up here is up here rusting. My feminine intuition is a joke. I must be cousin to a cat. I always wind up with a rat. I'm through with momentary thrills. I find I can't afford the bills. I resolve, come what may, I will not be this girl one more day. I resolve not to be so brainless. I resolve not to be so dumb. My usual brush with love is far from painless. And suddenly I have got to know how come. I resolve not to blame the others. Just because I'm an easy mark, I want to know why I never meet their mothers. When men are concerned, I'm always in the dark. I must stop thinking with my skin. I will not be a mandolin that someone strums and puts away until they get the urge to play. I resolve here and now I will be a different girl somehow.
I resolve to go see that show. Good job. Well, that's awesome. When do you guys open?
This Friday.
November 22nd.
November 22nd, and we go until December 21st.
Awesome. And where is it playing?
Austin Playhouse at the ACC Highlands.
Great. And where can folks go to get more information?
Go to austinplayhouse.com.
I should say this is a Sheldon Harnick, Jerry Bock piece with a book by Joe Masteroff. Mm-hmm. And it's what a fun one for the holidays. It opened first in 1963. So it's been around for a long time.
Yeah,
so good. Have a great run.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. You're welcome. And I, for one, will be there.
Scott Shipman directed.
Scott Shipman directed.
I did not know that.
Lynn is our music director.
Well, that we knew. Well, great. And you can get all the information of all the wonderful people that are in it at austinplayhouse.com.
Yes.
So thanks for being on the show.
Thank you, Lisa.
Yeah, go. What a great show. Can't wait to see it.
That was Marie Falgren, Bryce Ray, and Lynn Kenning with Austin Playhouse's She Loves Me, November 21st through December 21st. November 12th.
November 21st.
I was right.
November
22nd.
22nd to December 21st at Austin Playhouse at Highland Mall. For more information, austinplayhouse.com. And, you know, every now and then this happens.
I resolve.
We are back. You're listening to Offstage and On the Air. We've been having a great time talking to the folks over at Austin Playhouse, and that was Bryce Ray, Marie Falgren, and Len Kenning. And now we're going to switch gears and talk to the other half of this incredible studio audience. And I'm just going to reintroduce everybody. Ann Ciccolella, the famous co-host.
Yeah.
I did not say infamous, never would.
thanks for having me.
The infamous Ann Ciccolella. Matthew Graham Wagner, howdy.
Hello.
We have Webb Jerome.
Hello again.
Hello again. And Emily Christine Smith.
Hello.
Hello. So you're doing a little piece by William Shakespeare.
Yeah.
As You Like It.
We do.
It's a fringe piece.
Little known author. Yeah. You know. He's written a couple of things, but. You know.
Well, we call him Bill. So tell us, Anne or someone about what's the show? I'm guessing star-crossed lovers, cross-dressing. Don't know why I think that, but that's what I think.
Well, I will say there are four love stories in this show.
Oh.
The most famous, of course, is Rosalind and Orlando. But, it's Shakespeare's love letter to love. So it's got more songs than any other Shakespeare play. And we've actually brought Austin singer-songwriter music to our show, so we're really excited about
that. Yes, I heard about that before we went on the air. So,
Guy Forsythe, Tish Hinosa, Susan Gibbs, lots of people's songs are represented in the show, so we're very proud of that.
And I have to reintroduce Helen Rain Messenger, who had stepped out for just a little second.
Hello, everyone.
Welcome. did you pull from local singer-songwriters' existing stock, or did you have them produce music just for the show?
No, I wanted songs that had some familiarity. Uh-huh. So, we are happy to do songs that have already been written and fit into our story.
Well, awesome. It is a wonderful story. So let's find out who everybody is playing, starting with Matthew. What are you playing here?
Yes, I'm playing the role of Orlando.
I've been to your city.
Ah,
it's quite nice in the summer.
No, it's actually
terrible.
Not.
I've never been, so I'm just... yeah.
Orlando. And Helen, who are you playing?
I'm playing the character Phoebe. She's a shepherdess. I'm also playing a lot of the music in the show.
Cool. And Webb?
I am playing Audrey, goat herd S.
Can you yodel? There you go. You're lovely goat herd. We're going to mix our metaphors and, as you like it, or meets Sound of Music. And Emily?
I am playing Rosalind.
Oh, yay.
I'm very excited.
Well, that is exciting. So other than with Shakespeare, oftentimes we take some liberties with time and place. Are we doing any of that with this?
Sure are, sister.
Oh, yeah.
Tell us.
We are kind of in a fantasy time.
Okay.
So it's very Texas looking, but it looks, Gwen said to me, are they gypsies? No, they're not gypsies, but it's very eclectic.
Oh, okay. So we're everywhere with a Texas flair.
Yes.
Yes. Yeah.
Feel free to use that as a tag.
Oh, thank you. I appreciate
everywhere
it.
Everywhere with a Texas flair.
There you go. Every now and then they just come out.
The costumes are great. You can host a show. Did the costumes.
Who did?
Yeah. Aaron Kubicek.
Uh-huh.
He's kind of wonderful. So
wonderful.
We're excited. Yeah.
And what, is it like lush, like colors? What's the color palette of the costume?
It's very country. So it's green, brown, all that good stuff.
Petticoats.
Little bit of petticoats, but lots of cowboy hats and boots and
boots.
My favorite thing.
She's kidding.
I am.
It's a very comfy show. I do enjoy that.
Lovely. Well, let's just jump right in. I know you're going to sing a song that
we're going to actually speak some of the Shakespeare words.
Well, you just tell me what you want to do.
And then we're going to sing a song right after it all together, so you can see it side by side.
Oh, all together.
But I do want to say that the song is Helen Rain Messenger's own composition.
Cool. What's it called?
This song is called Heart Hurts.
Oh, it does.
Yeah.
No, yeah.
It
sometimes
asks you the question, what do you do when your heart hurts?
Not enough ice cream in the world.
We'll start with Orlando meeting a boy in the woods.
Okay. So... So Orlando, is that the setup for it? Orlando meeting a boy in the woods?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Sure.
And go for it.
For sure.
And thus I cured him. And this way will I take upon me to wash your liver as clean as sound sheep's heart, that there shall not be one spot of leavened.
I would not be cured, youth.
I would cure you if you would but call me Rosalind and come every day to my cot and woo me.
Now, by the faith of my love, I will. Tell me where it is.
Go with me to it, and I'll show it to you. And by the way, you shall tell me where in the forest you live. Will you go?
With all my heart, good youth.
Nay, but you must call me Rosalind.
Oh.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So this, the quietness that you're singing is the transition building momentum and mystery into the song that is just about to be played.
Yeah, okay, this song is called Heart Hurts. This is me, Helen Rain Messenger, who wrote it, and Webb Jerome singing the song.
What do you do when your heart hurts? I go sit in the sun. I sit and ponder your brown eyes. I take off, I do cartwheels. What do you do when your heart hurts?
I drink cold, cold, cold water.
I go sit in the sun. I take off, I do cartwheels. What do you do when your heart hurts? I read Marquez, I recite Albee. Then I smile all of the while. I sit ponder your brown eyes. I sit ponder your brown eyes. I sit and wonder at you and the way that you shine. I go sit in the sun. I take off, I do cartwheels. I take off my clothes and I do cartwheels.
Same. Naked cartwheels, what a great job. Lovely piece.
Thank you. It's all true. I do all those things.
Well, I mean,
at the same time.
Who doesn't do naked cartwheels?
It always makes you feel better.
So I rarely see these when they happen, so I'm just going to say it. Nicole Shiro, as we suspected, is listening, and she said, love this song with shakes.
Aww. So, thanks, Nicole.
Yeah, that's sweet. I have to agree with her. It was a beautiful, beautiful song. I love the harmonies.
Yeah.
And I love the message.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank
you. So, so what else can we tell me about this this wonderful? You directed it, Anne, I'm assuming.
I mean, it's a very joyous show. Mm-hmm. You know, there's all, of course, complications, but they're humorous ones. And I just think it's great for holidays in the sense of, you know, people are with their families, they want to go out and do something, and you know, you've got two perfect shows. She Loves Me and As You Like It, yep. Man. Those are just great.
Well, and then and for the antithesis of that, for during the Christmas season, you can go see Next to Normal.
Some of us have that in our family lives.
I think most of us do one way or the other. So this show, the As You Like It, though, ends with a happy ending. I don't think that's spoiling anything.
Sure,
it's like in All's Well That Ends Well, if you will.
There's literally four marriages at the end of this.
I know, at the same time. Yeah.
And a sheep.
Yes.
Yep. And a sheep. Shauna the sheep, although she's a bridesmaid.
She is.
Always
she
right.
She steals that scene, though.
She, by the way, was a crossword puzzle clue in today's New York Times crossword puzzle.
Interesting.
Ovines is the answer.
Ovines.
Okay. Wow.
Good to know.
Yeah, yeah.
As a shepherdess, I should know that.
You should know this. So what has been the... Any particular challenges or joys in particularly producing this production?
Sure. Well, you know, this whole idea of having singing actors...
Yes.
Is something we do when we're doing a Sondheim review or something, but it's not necessarily in a Shakespeare play.
Correct.
So we just have a great cast. And for us, lots of new people, lots of people who have been with us before. Emily's been in shows with us before. But it's just been great to, you know, blend all that together. And it makes for a lovely souffle, I must say.
Yeah, we have actors from ranging from, I think, 17 to 70 or something like that.
Wow, am I in it?
spirit.
So, spirit. How big is the cast?
16.
That's a large cast.
Yeah, it's Shakespeare.
It's Shakespeare. Well, but you know, there's the today everybody's taking Shakespeare and mushing it in.
Not
and
making I.
It, yeah, not Austin Shakespeare. And you're at the Rollins stage as usual.
We are. We love that space, and it really has worked beautifully in that space with our rehearsals that have started. So
yeah,
we've turned it into a forest, an absolute lush forest. It's gorgeous.
We have a comic forest. And so we open this Friday the 22nd, 7:30 shows. We also have Wednesday performances because we're not on for Thanksgiving, of course, and then a 3 o'clock on Sundays. And we have some special guests, like this Friday night is Susan Gibson, who wrote
Wide Open Spaces.
Uh-huh. Is going to come and sing one of the verses that the Dixie Chicks didn't record. Helen encouraged us to ask her to do that, so we're exclusive. Delighted to be honoring Austin singer songwriters.
That is wonderful. Just speaking of trees, this is sort of a tangential statement. I've been working currently with Deaf Austin Theater, and they're preparing for their middle school play. And they have these very large trees, and I got to watch them create these. And I'm not crafty. And it just amazes me what theater artists can do. So I had these big pipes that, you know, cardboard pipes that they put foam on and then painted it brown. It looks like a tree.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Wow. That
was somebody had to think of that at one time.
And are they at Texas School for the Deaf? Where are they doing it?
At Texas School for the Deaf.
That's a great
space. Auditorium, which is where we've been rehearsing. So,
good.
It's a lovely piece. And I should say that you should look in, and we will wrap up your show in just a second. But it's probably a good idea to look at schools like Texas School for the Deaf and some of our other high schools and the wonderful work that they're doing out there. Mm-hmm. And it's really incredible to see these deaf performers and what they do and how they do it. It's just really incredible.
Nice.
So back to As You Like It. You open when?
So we open this Friday night.
This Friday night.
Yeah.
No previews?
Well, actually, I have to admit, Friday is a preview.
Okay.
Saturday is the true opening. Thank you for asking.
That's excellent. And I think you did say when the closing was. How long do you play?
Closing is December 8th. And that's a Sunday. So we just have 3 weeks of performances, so 12 total in the Rollins. But we're happy to be there.
Okay, great. Well, thank you guys for coming on. I did not write in my little notes the normal things that I do for the closing, so I have to do it by memory. Scary.
I'm on pins and needles here, Lisa. What's going to happen?
Yeah, I wouldn't. Don't count on anything great for me. Great. Thanks for being on the show.
Thank you.
And I'm looking forward to seeing this one.
Yahoo.
Okay, that was Ann Ciccolella, Helen Rain Messenger, Emily Christine Smith, Matthew Graham Weber, and Webb Jerome with Austin Shakespeare's As You Like It at the Rollins stage in the Long Center. And it opens on Friday the 22nd and closes on December 8th. For more information, you may visit austinshakespeare.org. And this is a song called The Lusty Horn from As You Like It.
Take thou no scorn to
We are back listening to Offstage and On the Air with Lisa Sheps and Nicole Shiro. I'm just going to really quick cherry pick some of our Today in Theater History that we're going to do today.
Today in Theater History?
Yes, it's true. Before I do that, I do want to highlight one thing. The Austin Creative Alliance, which used to be called ACOT, which somebody in this room used to run, which was the Austin Circle of Theaters. They are having their annual Austin Creative Alliance Honors Awards on December 2nd at the North Door. For more information, austincreativealliance.org, I guess. That would be, there are performances by Jack Darling, Navagali, Frank Woman Collective, Jomo and the Possum Posse. And the honorees are Imagine Art, Rodolfo Mendez, Acia Gray, Indian Classical Music, Circle of Austin. So always a good time at that. So I'm just going to, let's see, I'm going to say that in 1966, they opens a little show by Kander and Ebb, who is Nicole Shiro's favorite, and that show is called Cabaret. It won Best Performance by Featured Actor, won Joel Grey, Best Musical Direction by Harold Prince. And then, of course, Bob Fosse did the film adaptation of it. which if you saw for Verdon Fossey, that was played pretty high. Did you see Anne Fossey Verdon? Okay. Also, and I totally forgot about this, and I wish they had a recording of it. 1990, James Clavell. Did anybody read Shogun or Taipan or any
sure,
of the?
Sure.
Yeah, there was a musical. Yeah, Shogun the musical. Yeah. I totally forgot about it.
But it's not recorded, you say?
Yeah, I didn't find it, no. It starred Philip Kasnoff. And when I looked at the, a lot of times I'll look at the Wikipedia page, and if they've got a cast recording, they'll show. Mm-hmm. And the IMDb page also, or IBDb page didn't show it also. Also in 2016, Sutton Foster starred in the off-Broadway staging of Sweet Charity, which I feel is just such a fraught show. The message, I don't think it's a great message for women at the end. but the music is so wonderful. so that it has its good and bads. Let's see, I'm going to choose a couple more. The Children's Hour opened on this date in 1934. That's Lillian Hellman's show. It starred Anne Reeve, Catherine Emery, and Florence McGee, and it ran for 691 performances. And in 1934, that was a lot. Oh, okay.
And the Children's Hour.
What?
And it's the Children's Hour.
It's not like,
you know, My Fair Lady. It's the Children's
Hour. Right. And then in 83, there was also a show, Marilyn, An American Fable, which I also forgot about, which is a rock opera about Marilyn Monroe, starring Alison Reed.
Yeah.
And Alison Reed is interesting. So I worked with Alison. She was in the show I did, Oh Brother. She was a rising star until she landed the lead in the movie of A Chorus Line, which was a huge flop. And her career sort of took a dive with it, which is such a shame. Hmm. So she played Cassie, and she is quite the talent. And then 1989, Rex Harrison and Glennis Johns did a revival of Somerset Maugham's The Circle.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, sorry, Nicole. I'm hearing the ding, and of course it's Nicole, and she's yelling at me. I evidently said Fred Webb and not Fred Ebb. I know, Nicole. I know. She also owns the Shogun DVD set.
Oh, wow.
Which was with Richard Chamberlain. But Richard that's the TV series, not the musical.
Right,
let's just
right.
be clear. But I loved that book. I'm just going to say
it's
that.
A great
so, so that's it. So that we made it through.
And wait
the
a minute. Yeah. When is your show? What's going on there at the Ground Floor Theater?
Well, we are opening a production of Next to Normal.
Yeah.
We open December 6th, and it is done both in English and American Sign Language. So it is fully deaf inclusive. It's going to be a pretty amazing piece. We move into the theater tonight.
Congratulations. Yeah. So, and how long does it run? When does it close?
It runs December 5th through December 21st.
Great.
Groundfloortheater.org. We will have people from the cast on the show, I believe, week after next.
Cool.
So, cool. We're going to go out with, you know what? Yeah, I'm going to do it. This is Randy Rainbow. I hesitate doing Christmas stuff, but I like Randy Rainbow. This music just coming out. The album is called Hey Girl, spelled G-U-R-L. It's Christmas. By Broadway Records, and this is Mommy singing. I saw Mommy. You know what it is. Here it is.
And tell me what happened.
No, I can't. It's too painful.
Everything.
Okay, 5, 6, 7, 8.
I saw Mommy kissing Santa Claus underneath the mistletoe last night.
Curtain has just come down on Dreidel, the musical. The story of a poor orphaned young man who has nothing to do on Christmas but spin a wooden top. tragic events happened after that.
I don't know about that.
Yeah, sure. So here we are. The show has come down. We've left the backstage door. We're outside by the dumpsters. It's a beautiful day out, so we're enjoying the outside. And joining us here is Helen Rain Messenger.
Hello.
Hi, Helen. Matthew Graham Wagner.
Hello.
And Webb Burrell.
Hello.
I just have to say, Webb, you have the coolest name of it. No offense to anybody else in the room.
None
what
taken.
A cool name you have.
It's all right.
No, it's more than all right.
When you're 8
Own
years
it.
Old and everyone is calling you Spider-Man and Web Slinger and Internet, not so much fun.
Yeah, but now.
But as an actress, I'm always the only Web in the room. So.
Yeah, but Web Burrell. you almost don't. I would always call you Web Burrell. It's like if we became fast friends, and I hope we do, and we'd be sitting, you're always going to hear Web Burrell.
Okay, I like that.
Hey,
wait, sorry, is Web Burrell like
Is web short for Webberell?
No, it's short for Web-Sleen.
Oh. Say that again. Web-Sleen?
Web-Sleen.
One word?
Yes.
What's the origin of that? That's fascinating.
So when my mom was pregnant with me, she had just moved to the country. She didn't speak any English.
Uh-huh.
And she was reading Webster's Dictionary.
Oh, no.
Oh. So she thought I was a boy. She was going to name me Webster. And I guess, like, you know, if you carry high or carry low, whichever one it is for a boy.
Sweet Chariot.
Be a boy. Yeah.
Sorry.
But then when I was born a woman or a girl, she didn't have a name. So she was like Webster Web-Sleen.
Wow.
And then that's how I got stuck with that name.
I love that. And where did your mom live?
My mom's from Haiti.
Cool.
But she was here. She had just moved here when she was pregnant with me.
Awesome. Well,
yes.
That's
an embarrassing story. Wow.
It's not embarrassing at all. I think it's cool. Awesome. I think I do work with the Anti-Defamation League, and oftentimes one of the little exercises we do is tell us an interesting story about your name. and that would be what I would choose if I had that story.
Okay.
So, Webb and Helen, you guys have been back here before, so we know everything there is to know about you, but we know very little about Matthew. And do you go by, is it Matthew or do you go by Matt?
I prefer Matthew.
Okay, then that's what it is. What's your story, Matthew? Where'd you come from? How'd you get into the theater?
Originally from Houston, Texas.
I've heard of that place.
Yes.
So a little south and east of here.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Just a little bit. You know, I got into theater because when I was in middle school and elementary school, I kept hurting myself playing sports. And I told my mom I was going to try out for the football team. And she said, yeah, right.
Yeah,
you're going to go try out for the play. And I went, okay.
Where did we go to middle school and high school?
Went to Catholic school, middle school called St. Anthony of Padua. Wow, I haven't thought about that.
I call it St. Anthony.
Yeah, yeah. And then high school, I went to Straight Jesuit. Oh. College prep.
Okay. And what brought you to Austin?
Job.
Did you do theater all through high school?
Yes.
Okay. And were you that kid that was always the lead, the leading man?
Nope. So this play actually is very new for me. So.
Oh, okay. Cool. And did you go straight from Houston to Austin?
No, I went to college up in Dallas at SMU.
SMU, I like to call it.
Yes.
Were you in the theater department at SMU?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, had a great time, learned a lot. Incredible, incredible program in terms of the professors and what they know. Some of the smartest people I've ever met were my acting professors up at SMU. So.
And why Austin? Oh, job. You told
job.
Me that.
Yes.
Are you Michael Dell?
No, but I work next to his building.
Up
Wait,
in Round
what?
Rock?
I have to ask, what do you mean by that? Why ask him, is he Michael Dell?
I was being silly.
Okay, just...
Why? Is there, is there more... Is he Michael Dell?
Well, no. No, definitely not.
I am.
No, actually, Michael Dell is from Houston, and he moved to Austin and opened up a company.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
He actually went to my high school in Houston.
Oh.
That company being Dell or something else?
Michael Dell. Oh, okay. You know, that company meaning Dell. Yes.
Okay. Yeah, so I do work... Next to his building. Okay. I had no idea who that was. Awesome.
Are you in tech?
Yes.
Okay. And so have you done a lot of theater in Austin?
Nope.
Since you've been here?
I got here 2 months ago.
Oh.
And 3 days after I moved into my apartment, started rehearsals for The Odyssey with Austin Shakespeare.
Mm-hmm.
And then after that closed, I had one day off and then started rehearsals for As You Like It.
Well, so tell me about that. So I'm assuming that you auditioned for The Odyssey before you moved to Austin.
Well, I actually, yeah. So I knew I was going to be moving to Austin. So one weekend before I did, I came out and spent the night at the hotel and auditioned for a couple of theaters, and one being with Anne Gigalilla, for Austin Shakespeare.
Heard of her.
Yes. And it was really just an audition for the entire Shakespeare season. And so she asked me if I was interested in doing this play, The Odyssey, and I said sure. And yeah, so.
Cool. Well, we're glad to have you here.
Thank you.
And hopefully you'll continue to audition. Are you a triple threat?
No.
Okay. I'm going to make the assumption that you think dance might be your weakest point?
Okay.
Do you sing in this show?
Yes.
Okay, he does. So and he plays the guitar in the yes. show.
Okay.
I like to sing and dance. I'm just not that great at it.
You're young enough where that could change. Take some classes.
Fingers
Indeed.
Crossed.
Indeed.
That's what I said.
So, Helen.
Yes.
I forgive me, I'm musically ignorant, so I had no idea that you had a calling as a singer-songwriter.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I haven't really acted in the last 5 years except for Parallel Lives, which was in May. I moved out of New York in 2014, and the last 5 years I haven't done any theater at all. And I just, I've just been focusing on writing songs and making music and learning to play the upright bass, and I put out two albums with my duo project, Rain and Left.
I love that.
Two albums. And I'm about to put out a solo album of my own songs that I just recorded. And yeah, so I've basically just been focusing on being a singer-songwriter and performing and touring.
Were you doing that in New York as well?
I wrote a few songs in New York, mostly filthy songs. yeah, it's true. But that was sort of... I was asked to be a part of this thing called Filthy Song Night. Happens once a year in Brooklyn, and so I wrote my first ever original song. And found out that it was really fun and unlocked some things in me.
I think you should sing it on the air.
I would sing my filthy song on the air if you want to hear it.
How filthy is it?
Pretty filthy.
We're gonna. I mean, you can, but I'd probably bleep it. I'd have to bleep it. You want to give us a chorus of it?
I say the P word. Can I say the P word?
I don't know go and say it.
I mean, every woman has it. Okay. Can I say...
Yeah.
Can I say pussy on the air?
You just did.
Okay. Great.
Yeah. We're actually not on... This is on the podcast.
I know.
So as I mentioned before we went on, my only restriction is I'm supposed to mark it explicit, but I don't know how to do that.
Do you want
to
hear it?
Yeah, let's hear it.
Okay, I'll get my guitar.
Okay, we're going to get the guitar. Well, while we're doing that...
I can't wait.
I've never heard this.
Well, this is good. This is a first. We have not had a performance during Backstage at Offstage before. Webb, while we're waiting for her to come here, what... passions have you outside of theater?
Passions.
Are you a singer-songwriter?
Singer. I'll sing other people's songs. I've tried writing. It's hard.
It is hard.
It's so hard to write something profound or even to rhyme.
Although I write songs about my dog almost every day.
Really? That's the most profound work you can ever
do. You take what you know and turn it into something.
All right, so let's hear that. Wait, does the filthy song have a name? Is it called a filthy song?
Does it have a name? It's called...
My pussy.
I can't give it away.
Okay, go.
I'll tell you what it is.
All right.
I'm getting $3,400 a day. The place I got for rent is a live, work, play. Some say it's spacious. Others say it's tight. You can have it for the weekend or just one night. I try to keep it tidy, but I got a lot of guests. Don't try to grab them, I charge extra from my breast. If you stick around for breakfast, bring your own coffee. I got nothing else to offer except cream, cream, cream.
Oh my gosh.
I put my pussy on Airbnb. It's just a picture of my giner and me.
Oh, no.
Won't work another day, I swear I'll never change my ways. I put my pussy on Airbnb. Bring your grandpa, your cousin, bring your whole family. I put my pussy on Airbnb. Won't work another day, I swear I'll never change my ways. I put my pussy on Airbnb. Okay, this next verse has Dell's name in it.
Go do it.
So get yourself an Apple, IBM, or a Dell. If you use the internet, I swear by hell you're gonna sell. Fire up your Facebook and turn on your Twitter. There ain't nothing better than this here clitter.
Oh,
clitter!
God.
Clitter! I put my pussy on Airbnb. It's just a picture of my giner and me. Won't work another day, I swear I'll never change my ways. I put my pussy on Airbnb. Bring your grandpa, your cousin, bring your worst enemy. I put my pussy on Airbnb. I won't work another day, I swear I'll never change my ways. Since I put my pussy on Airbnb.
Okay.
I need to take a shower. I
gotta
go.
That was marvelous. So I have to say that the two songs that you played for us today, both have a whimsical feel to them. Is all your music whimsical?
Yeah.
I'm giving that as a compliment. I enjoy both of them.
Thank you. Yeah. I don't know. I mean, I've got some bluegrass and folky burners too. So I don't know.
Well, I think you could have a whimsical bluegrass.
Oh, yeah.
A whimsy focal burner.
Totally.
Well, that's awesome. I may not even bleep that. I may just take my chance with iTunes.
I hope you do.
So while you're getting your guitar, we were asking Webb what passions she has outside of theater, and the answer did not get back to us yet because we had to talk about pussies and Airbnbs.
The market.
Yeah.
No, I do like to sing. Mm-hmm. I try to dance. Like if there's an instructor that tells me what to do, I can dance.
Oh my fashion. God, girl, you said like three times today, I just want to dance.
Yeah. Doesn't mean I'm good at it.
Oh, come on.
But
well, passions aren't necessarily being good at things.
Yes, that's
you
true.
Can be passionate about something and suck at it, like mm-hmm. me.
I feel free.
Just about everything.
I've been going to those paint and wine nights. I love those things.
Oh, okay.
I get crazy because I usually finish the entire bottle of wine and then like I start singing along and like I get the whole class into it and
end and you're up with painting a what? You're painting like, is it like painting ceramics or are you painting?
No, like a canvas.
Oh,
like,
canvas, okay.
Like a sunset or like mountains and yeah. Gosh.
And where are you from? Where did you grow up?
I grew up in Florida.
Okay, because you just did a glottal stop, which made me think you might be from the Northeast.
Well,
you said mountains.
We have mountains. So many mountains. Snowbirds. So like,
that's true.
In South Florida, like a lot of us have northern accents because that's what our teachers sound like and the people teach us to
that's
speak.
True.
We call them winter Texans here.
Winter Texans, we call them
snow. They only come here in the winter.
And, well, that's cool. And so where are you doing this painting and wine drinking?
The website's called Painting with a Twist, and they have like 8 locations around Austin.
And do you just go by yourself or you go with a group of friends?
I go with a group of friends.
Yeah, because that could be wild if you just went by yourself and started singing.
But one day I might, though. I might.
and why not? And so if you were to do, and I'll just throw this out to anybody that wants to answer, if you were to do a musical, any musical, do you have anything that's on your wish list of things you might want to do?
Aida.
Helen's going, no. Aida. We talked about this last time. That's the same answer you gave us last time.
I haven't done it yet.
Aida's beautiful.
Yeah, I'd love to do that.
What about you, Matthew?
I don't know if I'd want to produce it and direct it again. Sea Rock City and Other Destinations.
Okay, I'm not familiar with that one.
Neither am I.
It's really good.
What's the what kind? What
is it a real musical?
It is actually. It's basically a bunch of vignettes and it's kind of similar thematic elements in terms of people looking for something and not really finding it, and it takes place. So one scene is like these two people driving to Rock City. Then there's parts that are off the coast of Alaska, and another part they're at the Alamo. So it's just kind of like different. It's different vignettes in different places around America, and they kind of like are all thematically similar in terms of they're looking for something and they don't know what it is, but by not trying to look for it or looking in the wrong place, they end up finding it. So.
There you go. Which is what happens. Stop looking and someone appears. Well, thank you guys for joining us backstage. Really appreciate it. And Helen, wonderful song.
Thank you for having us.
That's
we were able to listen
here.
To this. Yeah. This was amazing.
I know. Yeah. I fell in love with my co-star today.
Okay, well, great. Well, best luck with the show. Best of luck with the painting and the directing and the singing and everything.
Thanks,
Lisa.
All right.
Thank you.
Bye.
I've
got a Sea Rock City answer to every prayer. Come on and see.